So, all right.
Radio.
There'll be a couple of things I'll talk about in the book. But I'd like to know, is there one particular thing that you would like me to emphasize?
You know, I'd like to just talk about how easy it is to put together a shift. If you, you know, if you're really feeling like you want to do something different with your life, a lot of the things that I talk about in the book are how to have more energy, more vitality, more purpose. And it doesn't have to be complicated or difficult. It's super simple, and it can be done with just a few little shifts every day.
Perfect. All right. I'm ready to do that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we can go on. So the only thing I wanted to tell you was when we're finished, you'll get information on where you can hear it and where anybody you know could hear your interview. And we'd very much appreciate you telling people about it because that's how people know about the show as well.
Sure, sure.
Okay?
Sure.
All right.
Great.
I'm ready to rock and roll. Any other question from you before we start to tape?
Nope. No. I mean, you've read the book, and I really appreciate that you like it. And anything that you feel like talking about is good. I mean,
good.
I really just I'm grateful to be able to discuss it in any way.
Yeah, I really do enjoy it. So, all right, here we go, Stuart. I'm going to be quiet, and I'll be ready to go in a minute.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair.
He sees hair on his head and not on his shoulders. And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And every single week, I get this wonderful email from our affiliate manager telling us that we're on more and more stations throughout the United States. We're almost reaching 40. And when we started, we were at 8. So I know that it's catching on, and this is the only show that really deals with every issue that has to do with successful aging. And although aging can be a dirty word, usually the first word in front of it is anti, as in against aging. Well, if you're against aging long enough, guess what you end up having? No aging. No, we don't want that. We want to age. We want to age beautifully and perfectly and with a flourish. So, you know, in the world of politics today, there's a lot going on. In the world of fighting and fuming, there's a lot going on. In the world of fear and money, there's a lot going on. So I want you to count today, this morning, as what they call in the trade counter-programming. We're going to do a little bit of counter-programming today. I have two incredibly transformative guests for you. One is Randy Reagan, who is the author of A Year of Living Mindfully, and you're going to love what she has to tell you about how you can make small changes in your life that will make big changes, not only in you, but in the world around you. And in our second guest, we're going to talk about philanthropy and how you can make really substantial changes, starting with the world around you and ending up with the world inside you. So here, whatever approach you want to take, inside out or outside in, we have it for you today in counter programming. And I love it. I love the ability to help you out that way. And to make a long story short, you know that we cover everything from Social Security to sexuality. Guess that's not so much. It both start with an S, right? All right. And we do it on our web page. And, of course, you want to take a look at our blog. We have some of the greatest writers in the world that have to do with aging, both on our show as guests and also in our literature and our books, our book club. So take a look at GenerationBoldRadio.com, GenerationBoldRadio.com, and start to connect. And not only connect with me, but connect with each other. Send the pictures. You're going to see beautiful pictures of people anywhere from the age of 60 to 105. And it's extremely inspirational. So that's GenerationBoldRadio.com. So I'm looking at the cover of a very, very beautiful book. The cover is pink, and it has leaves, and it shows the four seasons and the sun, and in a circle it says, a year of living mindfully. Seasonal practices to nourish body, mind, and spirit by author Randy Reagan. So, Randy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
No, it's a pleasurable book, and so it is developed into really protocols for people to do in the four seasons of each year, which are also the four seasons of their life. So this includes things like exercises and yoga and beauty and health and food and thoughts and communing with nature. You got a lot into one book. And I know that what you feel is that if people do some of these things on a daily basis, it'll make a serious difference in their life. So how did you come to bring this protocol together? There's so many disciplines all in one place.
Well, it's stuff that I've been interested in my whole life. I was a yoga teacher for 12 years. I taught yoga and meditation. I was interested always in health. My grandparents had a farm, so I grew up around really great food and seeing how fresh food is really important. And I had my daughter right when the green movement was experiencing a resurgence back. She was born in 2001 when I was in my early 40s. So I came late to the party, but it was right when the green movement was starting to take off again. I know that a lot of people who lived through it the first time in the 60s and 70s were like, we know what this is all about. But for younger people, it was new, and everything about being a new mother was, you know, how can I make my baby safe from toxins and chemicals? And so I just started delving into all of that stuff, and I found that everything, as most people know when they stop to think about it, everything is connected. Everything that happens around us, that we draw into our lives, that we experience in our lives, and that we end up emphasizing and doing and thinking about more than other things, it's all connected. And that's always really, really intrigued me, because the basis for a lot of what you'll find cross disciplines, from yoga to traditional Chinese medicine to other kinds of alternative healing, is the same message. Everything is connected, body, mind, spirit, and heart, so that when you really, really apply that to your life on a daily basis, you start to see, oh my gosh, yeah, when I have, you know, a little cold, it's because I was really stressed about something in my life a few days before that. Or when I have trouble sleeping, it's because I haven't really exercised for a good solid week now. I've been so busy. Or when I eat really cleanly and attuned to what my body is telling me I want, I have more energy and I'm less cranky. And I, you know, show up to meet people halfway more often. So there's all these causes and effects that happen when we start to really connect the dots.
And, you know, the book does connect the dots. First of all, it's called A Year of Living Mindfully, and that's really what you're hearing from Randy, that if you have an awareness of what you're going through at any time, you have a lot more control over your life, but you also have a lot more control over your future, your environment, and then that goes out into the world. And it is true. This is not touchy-feely. It's pretty statistically correct. We look at this all the time. We have wonderful neuroscientists that tell us that simply by having more than two friends, we have less of a chance of Alzheimer's. I mean, we look at these things all the time, and we see connections we would never expect. But I'm going to toss this back to you, Randy. By the way, we have a lot in common. My second child was born when I was 44. And she's a vegetarian. She's 23 now. She's a vegetarian, and she certainly was part of that second generation of mindfulness, we'll call it. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I like about the book, and one of the reasons I wanted you on, was there are things that we can do. They're very physical. You talk about how to make lotions and potions and dry brushing ourselves and, you know, even beauty products. What is the one thing that you like? Because we're coming into spring. Not spring yet.
Mm-hmm.
If you would say one of the things in your book that you really enjoy eating, drinking, or putting on your face, what's your favorite for the spring?
for the spring, I really like the idea of, I like two things, and they go really well together, lemons and fennel. And that might sound really strange, but lemons are an incredible miracle thing, fruit, food, plant. I mean, it's just incredible what they do. And they're detoxifying. You know, the Dalai Lama has a cup of hot lemon water every day to start his day. And so it resets your pH balance. It is antimicrobial. It's full of vitamin C, so it helps your immune system. It's got a mild bleaching agent, so you can put it in your laundry to remove stains. You can spray it on your hair in the summer to lighten it. I used to do that when I was a teenager.
Right.
You can use it in your food to bring brightness and sparkle to otherwise dull things. It's just got about a million and one uses. And it's a really super detoxifying agent, naturally detoxifying, that's not harsh. Fennel is coming into its own in late winter and early spring in a lot of places. And it's been around and considered a holy plant, a sacred plant, since the Middle Ages. Fennel seeds, you might know, when you go to Indian restaurants, are left at the front door.
With a spoon.
So you can
Yeah,
it's good for digestion. It settles the stomach, and it also has a mild cleansing effect on your internal organs and your blood. When you crush fennel seeds and you make a tea out of them, you make it what I call an infusion, which means you pour hot water over or something, and you just let it steep. You've got a spray that you can spray on your face, and it removes swelling, excess swelling, just the way that it works internally. Everything that we eat can be used externally in some form or fashion. So when you put lemon and fennel together, you can make a really nice basis for a salad, shaved fennel with a little bit of lemon juice, and then you can mix the greens in with it, and you've got a really bright, lovely spring salad that works on your digestion. It works to calm your facial upsets. It just works on all kinds of levels.
It sounds beautiful, and we're going to be back in a moment. We're going to talk about late winter and how to transform from late winter to spring. And a little story about that lemon.
Not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da.
Okay, so we're off the air, so that was perfect. We're going to go back again. How much time do we have, Stu? So we have not around the same. We have about 9 minutes now. I'll start with a little story, and I want to go into this concept of a transformation. But I want you to say a few words about yoga. I think that yoga, which is in the book, is really important for our age group that are listening, and they may or may not realize it.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
For
ready to go, Stu.
You may think that I'm full of it. Doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And we are back. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. About what? The truth about aging. We have a beautiful book here that really you ought to go and get this. This is the kind of book that you'll probably buy two. You'll have one for yourself, and they're very rare. I took to authors all the time, and I obviously only want to talk to authors that I think the books are great and they're for you. But this is a book I think you're also going to want to give to your daughter, your son, and maybe a friend. It's called A Year of Living Mindfully, and it's just chock-a-block with real things for you to do. The author is Randy Reagan. Motivational Press is the publisher. Of course, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it in your bookstores. We'll ask Randy if she has a website for you as well. And there's so many hints, tips, recipes for food, for beauty, for internal nourishment. It's a wonderful book. It lit me up. And I promised very, very quickly, Randy said the Dalai Lama has a lemon hot drink. I was actually in London. I'll never forget. It was many decades ago in a very expensive hotel. And there was a Japanese fellow. He was in his mid-90s. and he was being fawned over. He must have been a wealthy guy. There was a lot of sheiks there and who knows what. People were fawning over him. They were asking him, how did you live so long and so healthfully? And Randy, he said that he drank hot water and lemon in the morning every single day of his life.
There you go.
I was eavesdropping because my listeners know I'm like the eavesdropper of the Western world. And guess what? Every morning, no joke, I do the same. From eavesdropping on him. So there you go. And that's just the beginning of what's in your book. Now, one of the, I did want to ask, is there a website that you'd recommend people to go to learn more about the book?
Yes, it's my website, my blog. It's called The Mindful Living Almanac, and it's at randyreagan.com, and it's spelled RandyReagan, randyreagan.com. And I've got weekly tips and inspiration and things to do and recipes for just tuning in a little bit closer to daily rhythms and things that can help you feel hopeful, energetic, and vital.
Yeah, and by the way, I think the listeners know, and I did tell you, Randy, that every Friday I meditate with a group, and I try to meditate a bit by myself every day. And there's some wonderful meditation instructions here, including walking meditation, which I love. But before we get into that, I really want you to emphasize yoga. You know, if you're an older adult like myself and you go to a gym, you're going to see things like chair yoga, regular yoga, hot yoga, Bikram yoga. You ought to do it. Can you bring that concept of why yoga is so important to our life and our mindful living to the audience, Randy?
Yes, happy to do so. My own father started yoga when he was in his late 60s, and I have been a teacher for 20 years before that. So I finally convinced him to do it. And he said it was the best thing he had ever done. And this was an old guy from Texas who, yoga schmoga, right? So
right.
He loved it. And I think more than anything, it brings circulation and blood flow to your joints. So the first thing you're going to notice is you're going to be feeling less stiff. You're going to be feeling a little more energetic. It brings in really gentle transformation internally, not only to your joints, but to all your muscle groups, your tendons. Your organs will also get the benefit because you're doing gentle things like twists and movements that really emphasize blood flow and circulation. So, I mean, the saying that yoga teachers have is that if you can breathe, you can do yoga. And depending on your level of fitness, if you start with zero, there's always a class. Generally, seniors' yogas are the classes are the best places to start. If you're already fit from playing tennis or doing other things, you know, try a class with all ages and all levels. Basically, the theory also goes that anybody from a seasoned practitioner that can stand on their head can be right next to a new beginner in the same class, and they'll both get an equal amount of benefit from that class. So don't let your age or your background in fitness or lack of it keep you from going. I think the other thing that you'll find about yoga is that it helps your mind to calm down, and I think a lot of our anxiety and tension and stress clearly comes from projecting into the future or dwelling in the past on things that have already happened. And it really teaches us how to be in the present moment. That is the heart and soul of mindfulness. And it sets you out on a path of discovery of when you're living in the moment, you really start to notice little things, little details. And these little details are what give us joy and excitement throughout life. They help us feel energetic and hopeful and ageless. And I think that just comes from being present, being in the moment.
And I will tell you that this is a year of living mindfully by Randy Reagan. And, you know, I've done some yoga, not enough. I'm more in the meditation stage, and I'm beginning yoga. But I did do your ringing out of the spine and the exercise that you have outlined, including sun salutations, which I had done before. And I want people to know that this book is illustrated. And you can follow these. You can definitely follow these. And in the couple of minutes we have left, Randy, one of the things that I loved also was the walking meditation, the way that you were able to communicate with nature through the way that you can walk. and calm yourself. And it's a very, very specific thing you're suggesting people do. Talk to us about that a little.
Yeah, well, I guess I was inspired by my grandfather, who was a walker. He walked, walked, walked. And he said, you know, there's not a problem in the world that can't be solved from just walking it out. And I think that is extremely true. Something happens, something transforms us when we get out and we commune with nature. And you can be a serious urban dweller and still connect to parts of nature in parks. You can drive a little bit maybe and get into more deeper nature in a forest or a meadow. But walking, walking, walking and noticing the world around you, noticing how it changes, especially this time of year, we're going to see some major transformation as we move out of winter and into spring. And the walking meditation that I talk about in the book is just simply paying attention to every step. And that means walking really slowly, maybe even counting your steps, counting the minutes that you're going to be out, because it trains your mind, again, to be in the moment and to notice fully and completely what you're doing. And when you can do that, it sort of plays a little kind of game on your mind. Your mind is able to let go of stress and anxiety because it's occupied with what you're doing right now. So when you're walking, you're smelling all the beautiful things that come about in the spring. You're looking at the beautiful play of sunshine on the leaves and the trees. You're hearing birds. You're seeing the glory of flowers, the colors, the aromas. You're really in the present moment. And I think everybody's life can be completely shifted and transformed by a little bit of connection to nature on a regular basis.
Well, that's beautiful. And a year of living mindfully helps a lot. I've had a smudge pots, and I've had sage that I burn and all these things, but I never knew I was supposed to put it out in a shell, in a seashell. So if you're into this, you really want to read the book. And we're going to go into our music for a moment and say goodbye to Randy, but quickly, what is your website once again?
It's www.randyreagan.com, and that's spelled R-A-N-D-I. R-A-G-A-N, randyreagan.com.
You
I hope you found
it
so much.
Perfect.
Thank
love
you.
That
doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da.
Okay, perfect timing in every way, shape, and form. I loved it. It was very,
well, you
very
were great.
Good.
Thank you so much for your support.
Oh, it's a lovely, lovely book, and I have, just so that you know, because we may never talk again, who knows, I'm reading some passages out to my meditation group, but I also have a charity. Well, this you're going to really like. I have a charity called Good Grief. It's children who've lost their parents early in life, as I did, and we're grief facilitators. We give them nights of support, and before each one, the facilitators, 30 of us, have a ritual, and each one has to bring a ritual at a different time of the year. So mine's in May, and I'm going to use one of the things that you have in here. I don't know quite which one. I may read the story of your walking and thinking about your father. I don't know which one, but there's many, many choices here, and you made my life very easy because I'm able to find so many ritual that fit with what we try to achieve before we go in to work with the children. So this is a wonderful
book.
That's
so great. Oh, man, you just made my day.
Well, you just made my day.
Thank you so much. I mean, I would be happy to come on your show anytime you want to have me. I, you know, can come back in a different season and we can talk about different things for that season. Whatever you want, I would be at your disposal. I so appreciate the chance to speak to, you know, I think a neglected part of the population, even though I'm the youngest part of this group. I'm 57 this year. I'm starting to feel that, yeah, it's that you're coming into that age group where, you know, you got to fight for more of what you need to hear. So I'm really, really into that, and I love what you're doing with your show. I think it's amazing.
Well, thank you. I'm exactly 10 years older, and I think my daughter is probably exactly 10 years older than yours. And she's out in L.A. as well. She's working for a casting company.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. She's a producer of Shakespeare here in New York, but she graduated and, you know, she loved the idea of being in TV and writing, so she went out there. But so I get there a lot. But I will say, I have been able to use this book in a lot of ways, for myself personally, but also in quoting in different organizations that I'm involved with. So I really do like it, no joke.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we will be in touch, and we'll use it seasonally. We'll have you on and just keep writing, that's all.
Sure, sure. And if you're ever out here, please look me up. I'd love to meet you. And, you know, if you organize anything out here where I could come and speak, and, you know, I'd be happy to do so.
Yeah, we do.
And so think of me when you're here and just give me a call, and I'll make myself available no matter what I'm doing.
Wonderful.
And I will definitely send me the information, or can someone send me the information that I can link to so that I can promote you guys on social media?
Beautiful. As soon as we're finished today for this recording, we will do that. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Take care. Right. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Okay. So anyway, let me take a look at her book. And the other thing is, can you tell Randy is open. How to promote her on social media, like give her the app and all that. All right. Do it. You may have done it to the PR person. Well, whatever you've got. Georgina Hooper. Jean.
Good morning. Oh, Mary, I'm trying to find the boss because she's supposed to have a guest for me, supposed to be calling my radio show. What's the name of you?
Jean Chaparral.
No, she hasn't called yet. Okay, good. Very good. Thank you so much. All right.
Hello, Jean.
Yes, hi.
Hi, how are you? This is Adrienne Berg. I host the show.
Oh, great. How are you today?
I am good. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Sure. How long will the show be?
Okay,
or my portion?
You have two segments. Let me just ask. The first segment is how many minutes?
11
minutes, and the second segment is 8 minutes. All right?
Okay.
I'm going to introduce, and this is the second half of the show, all right? So what you're going to hear is some music that just introduces the second half. I will introduce you and the book, and mostly we will be talking about the contents of the book, all right?
Okay, now do you hear a lot of crackling, or is that just from my end? Should I call you back?
It must be your end, because I'm hearing it very, very well. She's hearing crackling. I'm talking to the engineer. She's hearing crackling on her side. So do you want to...
Do you want me to call back?
Should she call back, she's asking.
Yes,
I think you should, because you may be distracted. What kind of phone are you on?
I'm on a landline.
She's on a regular
so
landline.
So I'll just call back.
Right. Now, I'm not going to hang up because I'm connected to some technology here. So you hang up and call me back, okay?
Okay. All right.
Thank you. No problem. Okay. Hi, is that better for you?
I think so. So tell me your first name again.
Okay, my name is Adrienne.
Adrienne.
Yes, second name is Berg. B-E-R-G.
Right, and yes, and where Nora really didn't mention anything about the radio show or where.
Okay.
Or
I know nothing about it.
Sure. Let me give you the background. So this show is called Generation Bold, The Fountain of Truth. And it is a syndicated show on successful aging. It goes all over the country. We're on about 38 different stations. And, of course, with an app, you could pretty much hear us anywhere. And we deal with every issue that has to do with successful aging, from legacy planning to a gift giving, which we'll certainly talk about, to your relationship with your grandchildren, sexuality, spirituality, you name it. And we did win last year the Mature Media Award for the best radio show in the field, and we're proud of the show. So that's what that's about. I'm personally a New Yorker, I think like you. We're broadcasting out of New Jersey right now, and I'm just thrilled to have you on. There's a couple of things that triggered me today. I mean, you probably heard what was going on with Wounded Warrior as a charity.
What? No, I didn't. What happened? Oh. Because I've been working. I was at the doctor and working all day. What happened?
Let me know.
I'd like to know.
It's a scandal. I mean, you have a whole
scandal.
You have a whole chapter here on how to pick a charity, which we definitely want to talk about, because apparently 60% of the money they've been collecting have been going to partying. I mean,
that's
really
very bad.
Grand partying. And it's a problem.
Big problem. Now, on legacy giving, if you touch that, I just wanted to say that my advice to the public is to go find a lawyer they really trust and work with that lawyer. I do not profess to be the authority on legacy giving, and I state that very clearly in the book. if you want to put something in your will, which I highly advise, I don't advise how. I advise just to go to a lawyer. That's the one area, and the chapter is very, very short.
Right.
And
I
have it that way just because I think it's very detailed, and I am not the final word on wills or estates. I know nothing about them, really, running to the lawyer.
You're very good. So I'm actually one of them. I was a trust and estates lawyer for about 35 years. So for me, that's an interesting topic, but I really do very much like, even though you don't spend too much time on it, I think it's very important, that chapter about intergenerational giving. And how you can create an atmosphere of giving in your family. I think that's a very important thing to discuss.
Okay, that's fine. Now, so this is pre-recorded, and then you slice it up.
No,
easier.
We do a pretty good job. I mean, people like yourself, very articulate. You'll answer the questions. There'll be very little editing, believe me. So we're ready to go.
Okay. Now, also, you know, Georgina Bloomberg wrote an introduction to this book, and the reason why I have her involved, just so that you know, besides being a great admirer of the Bloombergs, she represents the millennials and is a great role model for the next generation. So my book, I very much believe that philanthropy needs to be taught not only at home but in the schools. And she's in the book. I have a philanthropic consultant who wrote another introduction. So do you want me to give short answers or long ones?
Okay,
for
the
radio?
Answer is short, for sure.
Sure.
Say what you need to say. Let's put it that way. And one more connection. My son, Arthur Bachner, different last name, was on the staff. He was a speechwriter and communications director for Bloomberg's foundation.
Wow.
He's now
Wonderful.
Yeah, for about 2 or 3 years. And then he actually went on to be communications director at Disney. But he loved that work. And he always said if he came back to New York, he would continue with that. So 6 degrees of separation. Okay. But I will definitely mention the introduction, because it's a beautiful book, and it's beautifully done, too.
Oh, thank you. Did you read it?
I did, because...
Oh, wow.
let me tell you, philanthropy is a big part of my life, but it's also a big part of successful aging. And life purpose. You'll see.
It's in my book, right?
Yeah.
I speak about no one's going to remember us really for our business or the vacations we took.
Right.
They remember us for maybe our good works, maybe. And if not, we have a responsibility.
Yeah. So when we talk about legacy, it's not only money legacy, it's values legacy too.
I'm ready. I've been interviewed.
Fun.
Sure, I did one radio show last week in Palm Beach and I was on for a half an hour.
Yeah, you will be here too when you put it all together. But all right, we're ready to go.
Okay, so when will I finish? Because I said to some people I'd be over at their office at 3:30. Should I tell them a little later?
Stuart, if you put the two together and we go quickly, how many minutes? Oh, 20 minutes and you will be gone.
Okay, great. Wonderful.
We're ready to go and we will be quiet. And Stuart, go ahead.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And this is Adrienne Berg, and this is the second half of our counter-programming show today. And yes, we are all inappropriate for our age. We want to be, because if we want to age successfully, we have to kind of think out of the box, but very frequently we have to act out of the box. And that's why I am so excited to have Jean Shafiroff. Now, she's legendary in the field of philanthropy in our area, but I know that not all of you are in the Northeast. You're going to want to know Jean Shafiroff, and you're going to want to read her book, Successful Philanthropy, How to Make a Life by What You Give. And we've talked so many times to professors, to doctors, to heart surgeons who tell you that if you have a life purpose, if you have a values legacy, if you have a life mission, you not only live longer, but you actually live healthier and, of course, more successfully. So Jean Shafiroff has the answers on how to do some of these things. I'm going to also tell you that I'm impressed. The introduction to this book is by Georgina Bloomberg, and the Bloombergs do live a life of philanthropy. But not everybody has to be a Bloomberg to be able to give. And successful philanthropy comes in all shapes, sizes, and monetary ability. So thank you so much for being with us, Jean. And I know in your life, philanthropy is centerpiece. But what made you think that the time was right to come up with a book on successful philanthropy?
Yes, well, philanthropy is a very big word, and many people are afraid of it. When they think of philanthropy, they think of a dollars, correct?
Yes.
So my book is an inspirational or encouraging book. And what does that mean? I am telling the readers it's not just about the dollars you give, but to be a philanthropist, you can be one without a whole lot of money. It's about time and giving knowledge as well. And so instead of shying away from giving, people should believe in themselves and believe that they can do something and make a difference.
Now, one of the things people do, and it's kind of the easiest, let's face it, is give money. And they, small or large, they look to pick a charity instead of create one. And sometimes they are concerned, is their money going the right place? Now, in your book, Successful Philanthropy, you do have a chapter on how to select a charity. And it's a very personal chapter, so tell us a little bit, give us some guidance on how to select a charity.
Well, first I want to say that the money given to charities is all very important for those charities. And so without the funds, they can't do their work. However, that being said, there are a couple of guidelines that all of us need to follow. And the first thing I would say is, once you've chosen a charity that you think you want to get involved with, do the research. Go on a few websites, check them out. One such website is Charity Navigator, and then there's GuideStar, another. see what they have to say about them. See what they're doing with their the money they're bringing in. What percentage of that money is going to the charity for programs, and what percentage is going for overhead? And in my book, I say that in general, the overhead of a charity should not be any higher than 20% of what's brought in. And that means that 80% of the money ought to be going to different programs.
And that is something you can check out. And, of course, if you take a look at Successful Philanthropy by Jean Shafiroff, you'll get some really important guidance on where to put your money, whether it's $25 million or $25. The research is the same. Now, one of the things, too, though, that we discussed even off-air, Jean and I, is that this is a show that deals with the older adult. And many times, Jean, the older adult is more involved with their grandchildren than they were in the past because they're watching their grandchildren grow up. And we do live longer. And we often know our grandkids as older adults, even 20s, even 30-year-olds. I have many people who have written to me. They have 30-year-old grandkids. So my question to you is, how do you create that culture of giving within a family if you're a parent or a grandparent?
The first thing is by example. Your children and grandchildren will look to you and see what you do. So if you're involved in philanthropy, you set a very good example. And then the next thing is, I believe that philanthropy has to be taught. We have to teach people to give. And not only do I think that parents should teach this and grandparents, but I think our schools need to. And many of the schools have programs, required courses in community giving, but I think that many do not. And in my book, I encourage the school systems to start early, kindergarten, first grade, with classes on philanthropy. So you, as an older adult, as a grandparent, I just suggest that you guide your children and grandchildren based on what you're doing, but also on what you think they should be doing.
And I want to give a little shout-out. It's sad. I learned today that a person who's in my life as a personal trainer passed away, and there was an amazing article about her because she took care of animals, including horses. We live in New Jersey in horse country, Jean. And when I opened your book a few days ago, what was the first part of it? It was about a friend of yours who was interested in animal care and horses, and there it was all together. And you said to me off-air, you won't be remembered for the vacations that you took. You may not even be remembered for your business, but you will be remembered for your philanthropy. How important is that in your life and in the many people you work with on the boards that you sit on, to be remembered?
To be honest, I'm not sure I'll be remembered for my philanthropy, and that's okay with me. I think what's important is that we give back and we leave. When we leave this world, we've made an effort to make the lives of those less fortunate around us better. And we're not here just to take. We're here, we have to give. And if we don't give, I think we lose the whole meaning of life. And so many of the great role models of the last generation have spoken about this. And I have some of their quotes in the book. For example, I'm just thinking now, Martin Luther King and
yes.
Gandhi and Nelson Mandela. These were all people who did things not for themselves but for the greater good. So hopefully you want to do things that will add to the lives of others. And it's not difficult. It's actually very easy to get involved.
No, it truly is. And this book, Successful Philanthropy, the publisher, you should know, is Hatherley Press, and they have their own logo, which is Improve Your Life, Change Your World. And there's a lot of people who are longing to do that. They're getting a little bit fed up of feeling that they are helpless in the face of a lot of tragedy and a lot of things that are going wrong around them. And I will tell you that this book by Jean Shafiroff, How to Make a Life by What You Give, is not only inspirational, but it is also a how-to book. So for those of you who are feeling a little bit lost, you would like to do something, you would like to make a change, you're pretty sick and tired of sitting around and complaining or hearing other people complain, you're going to want to not only get her inspiration, but the inspiration that Jean's put in her book, the inspiration from Georgina Bloomberg. These are people who could have done many things in their life with their time and with their money. But what they chose to do is to live a life of giving. And you'll find some things in it. Just before we take a little bit of a break and come back with Jean again, she defines philanthropy. I think it's one of the most important parts of the book. She defines it as your passion, your commitment, your understanding, your respect, and, of course, the action you take, a decision to take action and make something we believe in happen. On that list, she does not add your money, because that can come with it or not. But if you're there to look into your own self and what lights you up, not only will it make a difference to the world around you, but I assure you that as we age, it'll get you into a stage of aging that is so much more exciting than you would ever imagine, that we really can bank on, count on successful aging just because of that. When we come back, we're going to speak a little bit more about Jean, where you can get the book, some of the thoughts that you might have, a little bit about intergenerational planning together with regard to charities, and some of the things you can do if you come up with a cause that nobody else seems to be dealing with. That happens quite a bit, and people do feel helpless. Not everybody can go and create a foundation like the Komen Foundation because they were motivated by something that nobody else was paying attention to and make it that large. But Jean has a lot of information on how you can be a volunteer, not only with your money, but with your time. So don't go away, because this is a day where you can change your life. We'll be right now.
That doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da.
Okay, Jean, I'm going to go right into the next segment so that you can get to your meeting. Is that okay?
Oh, sure. Any suggestions?
Yes, I'm going to, first of all, I don't know, other than the book itself and Amazon, is there anything else that you want to promote in terms of even one of your local galas, because we are heard here? You can also give people a website if you'd like them to go to a particular website. So that's one thing. Otherwise, I'll just tell people to go to the bookstores and Amazon to get the book.
Yeah, I think Barnes & Noble's, Amazon. I have a website, but it's not set up. They can follow me on Facebook. I think a lot of the older people are on Facebook, right?
Yes, that
versus
is true.
Versus Instagram.
Right.
Yeah,
true.
They just punch my name in Jean Schaffer off, and I'll pop up.
Wonderful. And I'll have
And I have
help
a lot
that.
Of people interacting with me on Facebook.
No, it's, why not? I mean, it's terrific. The other I wanted to ask you about is volunteerism.
Yes.
And any words of wisdom you want to give with regard to volunteerism, I think that's very important for this particular group.
Okay, well, I'll talk about a few things.
Sure.
You know, find
all
a
right.
passion, find a place where you're needed, and then finally, make sure that you like the atmosphere and that you're being treated with dignity and respect, and those around you also need to be treated with dignity and respect.
So we're good.
People forget that.
No, I think that they don't go in realizing that that is something, you know, when you're younger and you're giving an hour here or there, it's one thing. When you're retired and you're making it your life, it's really very important. So
okay.
We're going to hear some music and we're going to go on.
Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
You know what, we talk about being inappropriate for our age, but actually today we're talking about being very appropriate for our age. This is Adrienne Berg, this is Generation Bold, and this is the Fountain of Truth. And we talk about successful aging, but we're here today with Jean Schaffer, who's talking about successful philanthropy. And that is actually the title of her beautiful book. It's an inspirational and practical guide to giving, How to Make a Life by What You Give, with a terrific introduction by Georgina Bloomberg. And what we've been talking about is the fact that this can be not only part of your life, but an essential part of your life. So before we go any further, Jean, let's just tell everybody where they can get the book.
The book is available on Amazon.com and then in selected bookstores across the country, Barnes & Noble. And if you can't find it in the bookstore where you live, just ask them to order it. The Successful Philanthropy, How to Make a Life by What You Give, Jean Chaparoff.
And, you know, Jean is somebody who in the New York area is very well known for being on many boards, being the kind of person that if you do want to make a life in giving, is always there as a mentor. So let's talk, Jean, about people who do want to make a life in giving in the sense that they want to volunteer. What should they look for a fulfilling volunteer experience?
First, I think they ought to look within and decide what would be of interest, meaning follow your passions, see what interests you. And then once you've followed your passions and you say, yes, I'd really like to work with children who have leukemia, go out and look for a charity, hopefully that's locally based, where you can go in and maybe help. But before you actually go in and volunteer, take a look at the charity itself. Make sure they're well run. Make sure you're not going to be giving your time to a charity that is not a good charity. There are a few charities out there that are not good charities. However, most are very good charities. So once you've done the research, you find the charity, and you go in and you ask to volunteer, remember that volunteering is just like a job. Everyone there needs to be treated with dignity and respect. Good manners are key. And also, you as the volunteer, you should be treated well. It's your time. You could be doing something else. And you have generously offered to be a volunteer. So I'm saying to all of you, follow your heart first. Then do some research on a charity where you think you might like to work. And then thirdly, make the calls, go in, meet the players, see if you like the environment, and then say, okay, I want to volunteer, and here I am.
You know, one of the things you actually have here, too, that I found very illuminating for me is not only being treated well as a volunteer, being a volunteer that treats others well. I mean, it's a two-way street. You really are a writing for people who are making a life that way, in the same way that people who would still be working are going to look at the culture of their work environment. How should people be acting as a volunteer? Are they arrogant? Sometimes you see arrogance because, after all, they're doing it for free. Sometimes you see subservience. What are the things that you've seen that should inform people to do things a little bit better?
I don't think anyone should ever be arrogant, ever. So arrogance is absolutely out of the question. Those that volunteer have to remember that many of the people that they're working with, including the paid employees, are there because they believe in a cause. Many paid employees get a much lower salary than, say, if they were working in a private company, and
yeah,
they're there because they believe in the work they're doing. So in many ways, they are mini philanthropists themselves. Everyone has to be treated with dignity and respect, including those that are being serviced by the charity. So that would be, if you're working with the homeless, you would want to treat them with dignity, respect, and be very polite, because these people, very often, they need guidance, they need love, they need help, and you as a volunteer are there to provide some of that. So I think, yes?
Yeah, I was going to say, you sit on a lot of boards just on this topic here of treating people with respect. And are you sometimes called upon to do more than you really have the time for? And because you are so involved with philanthropy? And if so, I think it would be very useful if people knew how to say no. This is a personal question. Have you learned to say no, or is it tough on you?
It's tough. If I like the charity and I like the cause, I want to do everything. But I'm human, like everyone else, and when I don't have enough time, I have to say no. And it may not be because I don't want to be involved. It's mostly because I just can't, and I don't want to do a bad job. If we spread ourselves too thin, then we generally we can't do a good job. So, and the charities understand this, but I think it's how you say no. And one thing I suggest is that if you have to say no, just say, well, right now I can't do it, but maybe in the future I can. And this way, it's easy for the charity to see that you're interested, but you just can't do it. Now's not the right time.
And that may be, too, if you're solicited for money, where you can also say no, but don't close the door. So this has been a terrific hour for me personally with our book, A Year of Living Mindfully by Randy Reagan and Successful Philanthropy by Jean Shafiroff. I think that these are seminal books that can make a difference in people's lives who are listening, because you can make a difference in people's lives who are not listening, and go out there and create an atmosphere within a charity that you're already working with, a charity that you're thinking about, or within your own family, so that you can create that culture. So, Jean, if you would say one thing that is the most inspirational for yourself that got you started, what would it be?
My teachers and then my dad. My dad was a school teacher, and his life was spent giving back. And also my teachers. I went to Catholic schools, but I want to say that all religions, most religions, teach the value and the importance of their followers to give back. And I think, as I said earlier, we're here for a short time, and we want to make sure that we do what we can to help those in need, because we're very blessed, most of us.
Yes, and I have to say, every week I say, get out there, kids, and make it happen. And this time I surely say, get out there, kids, and make it happen. Thank you so much, Jean.
And thank you.
So that was great.
Well, thank you. I try, right?
Yeah, no, it's a lovely book. I hope it goes gangbusters in every way, shape, and form. It's really a nice book.
Well, thank you. I think there's a lot in the book that can really help people get going. And, it's, you know, I like to use the word encourage, because, who am I to inspire? I'm here to encourage, like anyone else. We're all spokes on the wheel, right?
No, absolutely. I'm still working. I'm 68. And I work in media, and I work also in finance, like your husband, except we're here in the great state of New Jersey. But one of the best things I do in my life is something called Good Grief, which is nights of support for children who've lost their parents early in life. And today there was a client who wanted to see me, and we changed it so that I could participate in that. So you have to make an effort. You're always giving something up if you're volunteering or giving money, but it's really so worth it. And
well, I agree.
It is true.
And I think probably a lot of your listeners, many I'm sure are involved, but many may not be. And some may not know how to get going. And I think that's the purpose of the book,
yeah.
Get them. And I really think it's helpful to people. I wish I had it when I was younger.
No, absolutely true, and I really enjoyed it, and I have read that we're one of the most charitable, countries on earth, but you confirm it in your book as well.
I think we're the most charitable.
Yeah, most charitable.
Which is a great thing, and it's part of our culture. That being said, and this is off the record, there are plenty of people that have the wherewithal and who don't give, and they need to be motivated, and also encourage, I think, encourage, almost held by the hand sometimes.
So many, many years ago, I wrote a book with a fellow named Milton Gralla. He's passed on since. He started the Shirley and Milton Gralla Foundation, and this is a long time ago. And he's a philanthropist in many areas of education and health. But he was one of the originators of the matching grant, the matching gift.
Wow.
And he would tell stories. Very important. He would tell stories about how to ask, how to be on the ask, that were really funny and primitive ways. Now, today you have people who are lecturing and training on how to ask and, you know, all that sort of thing. But he was at the very beginning of that. And he really believed that this is what you had to do in life, that there was an obligation. So it was very interesting. The book he wrote was called How Good Guys Grow Rich. Very interesting book.
How to Ask for Charity. That's a funny title for a subject like that.
Well, it was only part of it.
That was part of it,
but he was also talking about in business being a good guy.
Oh.
And
well,
that you did better in business.
Person.
Yeah, if you had a mission in your business, or some, kind of like the thing you mentioned in terms of the charity. But it was very interesting to know him and to see in the beginnings of the idea of charitable giving. And in many ways, he would strong-arm people to give.
I don't believe in that.
I don't.
And when I get someone who sends me, like, say, someone today, we need the money today. That's ridiculous. If I did that and attempted to fundraise, I've turned people off. They would not want it. They don't like it. Nobody likes to be strong-armed. And I think that's actually, it's not the way to go about it. Quickly in the book, I go through general things that someone ought to think about before they say yes to fundraising, because it's a very serious thing. And I first say, I don't know, did you read that part about how you need to do your research on the charity, you need to feel comfortable giving, you should get some training, you need official paperwork, never collect the money yourself. Someone wants to give you a credit card, don't take it. Have them give them the charity's phone number. Stay out of the money part of it. I hate when someone, if they send me a check written to the charity, I have to send it off. But I can't stand when people do that because it just creates more work for me. I also don't want to be responsible for it.
Understood.
And
well,
if someone wanted, and never take a check written out to you. But I say that in the book.
That's very important. By the way, I'm going to give the book also I'm going to get another copy. On my own as a gift to the folks over at Good Grief, where I volunteer, because I think that the staff themselves can learn a lot from what you're writing here. So
I actually think this would make a great textbook in either high school and college, both, for students. I also think it's a great book for charities, and I think it has a lot of use.
Yeah.
It's just a question of getting it out there and making it sound interesting and not boring. You know, it's a question of who wants to read it, right? People don't read today.
Well, I hope that we did a little bit in that direction today. And I'll send you the information as to when it's on and any way you'd like to use it.
Thank you.
You can. Okay.
Great, I'd love to hear it. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Adrienne, and you're wonderful, and sounds like you're doing good things. And Wounded Warriors, I've actually given to Wounded Warriors. I'm going to look. That's really bad. See, that kind of information discourages people.
I know.
But that's rare. Very bad.
All right. Go to the meeting.
Thank you.
And I hope to talk to you soon again.
Okay,
have you on again.
Bye-bye.
Take care.